The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Tuesday, Gary, what do you know?
I'm just telling you, it's just so much fun. I mean, it's more fun than it's ever been to be doing this kind of work. It really, really is. I mean, let's just give you an example of what makes it so much fun. Going to Morning Joe yesterday as they had on Adrian Elrod, an MSNBC contributor and former Hillary aide. All right.
Okay.
As they talk about this whole Tulsi Gabbard thing, and Jill Stein just blew up yesterday. I mean, I thought it might be over, that they might try to bury it. No, it just, because there are people actually attempting to defend it in some way.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to call somebody a useful idiot for Russia. It's another thing to call them an asset. Why did she do that?
Well, you know, Joe, I think it's less about the messenger and more about the message. The point that Hillary Clinton was making, of course, is that the Russia propaganda machine, whether Tulsi Gabbard is even that aware of it, the Russia propaganda machine has been propelling her, lifting her up since she announced her candidacy. We also know that there are pro-Putin donors here in the America, in the United States, American donors who have been giving to her campaign. So I think Hillary Clinton is giving a very valid, very important warning to all
of us. I mean, I just love this. Yeah. I love every moment of it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be this kind of show. We knew that it was going to be a spectacle from the beginning. There's no way it wasn't going to be. And it's not just about the primary season, by the way. This is not the typical back and forth of the primary season. This is today's left. This is how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to change. It's not going to change after the primary. But I can't wait to see what they come up with during the general election process. Remember, the only rift, and it wasn't a small one, but the only real rift there was in 2016 was the fact that, of course, the DNC ushered in Hillary, and they were pushing, of course, Bernie to the side, and all of his people showed up at the DNC going, what? They were outraged, and as they should have been. But this is going to be this back and forth between everybody on the left isn't going to end. They continue to separate themselves, divide themselves as a party over and over and over again. And man, is it highly entertaining.
Well, it's extremely entertaining, because what you get to in a point like this is you eventually have to look at both sides. You have to look and say, okay, Tulsi Gabbard or Jill Stein, or are they actually Russian assets? Because, again, the term indicates that you're working for the Russians. Correct. I mean, that's what the term indicates. That's the whole thing with the try to throw on Trump. But when you look at it, this is the best part about it. And again, we talked about the New York Times not willing to examine it yesterday when we hit them on an article. By the way, they got pounded again on an article on the Puff piece on Hillary, calling her, what was it, a master troll.
Yeah, right.
That this is just masterful. This is, you know, trolling a Democrat a candidate. But the most incredible thing is when you actually break it down, as we did yesterday, if you want to look at the presidential candidate who colluded with the Russians to try to change the outcome of the election, and when you break it down, nobody but the New York Times can debate that it didn't happen, and they just say it didn't happen. They just call it fake news or conspiracy theory. But the fact is, it happened. The Hillary campaign and the DNC are the ones that funneled the money to the former British spy in order to get the information from the Russians in order to help destroy the Donald Trump campaign in a variety of different ways. And that's the beauty of it. The person who was making the accusation is the one who actually colluded with the Russians in 2016. That's the beauty of all of this.
Hmm. Yeah. It makes you, if you think about it, you think about it, I mentioned this yesterday, kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's likely Hillary already had the contacts at the Kremlin already set up for Christopher Steele. Yeah, you just go over and here's who you talk to. They'll have everything ready for you.
Why not make that accusation? Go ahead. She's making accusations.
Well, why not?
Just make that. That's exactly what she must have done, right?
Right.
If we're arguing this from the way that Hillary argues, or the way that Hillary debates, or the way that Democrats debate, well, yeah, then you can make that case, because with the Democrats, you can make any case. You can lie about it. You can call the president a traitor. You can do whatever, and it doesn't matter whether there's any credibility to it or not. The accusation is what matters.
Yeah, right.
As we all know, because that comes from sexual harassment. The accusation must be believed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless it comes from the people that we disagree with on politics every day, then their accusation means nothing. It's just an outright conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. That's where we're. So I got so much of a kick out of it yesterday, and then Bernie Sanders comes to the defense of Tulsi. And Jill Stein.
Yeah.
And then Trump talking about it, calling Hillary crazy.
You know what it's like? It's
wonderful.
It's like professional wrestling, really. You know, back in the day when there was there was always the good guy versus the bad guy. I mean, that's pretty much still the case, I guess. I don't follow wrestling, but I did as a kid. There was always the good side, the evil side, and then the good side. Well, then you would all of a sudden be surprised that one of the good guys turns evil, or one of the bad guys turns and becomes an ally. One of the bad guys is an ally all of a sudden of a good guy. If you watch this whole mess play out on Monday, it really reminded me of that mindset. It reminded me of professional wrestling at its worst. And I'm thinking to myself, if they put this on pay-per-view, I'd watch this. Forget the debates. Just have them start throwing accusations at each other. Forget the whole, narrative about man-made global warming or pronouns or any of that. No. No, we don't want to get to what you guys believe are the issues. Just start slinging mud. and let's just stick with that for 2 or 3 hours. Look, if you want to have a town hall and all day bring a lunch town hall, I'll watch that one. That one will get me in front of the TV. Okay, I'll DVR it. I'm not gonna go out on a limb and commit to it just yet. But if you do, I'll make sure that I record the whole thing, and I will eventually get around to watching it, because it is nothing short of fully and completely entertaining. But this is exactly what you should expect. This is the left of today.
But what I sort of expected was that the media would just ignore it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's Hillary, so they're not going to... Sort of like what the New York Times is doing.
Yeah, right.
But what's happening is you have people... not just what the New York Times is doing, because the New York Times actually, as the puff piece that they're accused of putting out yesterday, calling her a master troll, that in a way they find a way to compliment her, if not necessarily agreeing with her. But now you have got a ton of people saying, well, what Hillary is saying has some points, because you have to look there by doing that. They're continuing this controversy by Hillary's former aide being on MSNBC, and she's an MSNBC contributor, and say, no, this is a great warning that Hillary is putting out. This is the same kind of crap that they threw at Trump on a consistent basis. And Trump did bring it up. Maybe he was listening last night, because we said, wait a minute, for Trump, this went on for 2.5 years.
Right. Exactly.
But now they're calling each other Russian trolls. But that's the whole point. I want to see Tulsi come back. Come on. If we're going to do WWE, let's do WWE. Hillary is the one who colluded with the Russians.
Yes. Exactly.
But that's my point. Is it the fear? Are you seeing this defense of Hillary? Because the fear is that you go right back, right at this time when the IG report's going to be coming out. right when all these investigations are being done. The way to defend Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein, even on the left, and they know this, and I think they're thinking to themselves, my God, we can't come out. We can't come out and give the real defense here. How do we get out of this? Hillary, you need to shut up.
Yeah,
because because we're going to come, somebody's going to come right back at you, somebody who really disagrees with you and says, excuse me, who colluded with the Russians in the 2016 election? Hillary Clinton, you're going to make the case of the Republicans, and you're going to make the truthful case of what actually happened in the 2016 election.
Exactly.
That it was Hillary that colluded with the Russians. Yeah. Not Tulsi.
No.
Not Jill Stein and not Donald Trump. It was Hillary. She's making the accusation that she's guilty of. Is there a pattern here?
You know, remember when I forget what story they did. There were a couple of reporters at the New York Times who had been burned by the Clinton machine, and they were angry. We can't believe it. They were like, you can't? Do you have any idea? Do you know who you're in bed with? What do you mean you can't believe it? You can't believe you got burned. And I forget the story, but it was back in, I want to say, mid-2016. And this is, the Clintons don't care. And AOC doesn't care. She doesn't need you. Frankly, she endorsed Bernie, but she doesn't need Bernie. Bernie needs her. That's how she sees it. It's that simple. It's every man for himself. Seriously, right now, I just have to ask, in the Democratic Party, who's holding the conch? That's what I want to know. This is full-on Lord of the Flies. It really is. And if I cared enough about it, I just might be embarrassed for them. But I'm not, because, man, I get a ton of enjoyment out of watching them go crazy. This is what they built. And if it ends up imploding and setting their proverbial house on fire, I don't care.
Well, I just hope that somebody in the Democrat Party gets so upset that they actually state the truth, which is, excuse me, Hillary, you're the one that's doing what you're accusing me of doing. Russian asset, you're the one that went to the Russians.
Right.
You're the one that took campaign money and went to the Russians. You dare calling me a Russian asset? And that's, I think, the fear of the Democrats right now, is right now, when all of this, the investigations, you know, are going to be probably coming out in the next few months. The IG report could be any day now.
Right.
And the fact is, Hillary's making this accusation, where the one person that we know that there's more actual evidence by Democrat standards of what defines collusion, of who colluded with the Russians, and it is Hillary. And what you end up doing by using the best defense for Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein, what you end up doing if you use that defense to attack Hillary, is make the case that Trump has been making all along about Hillary.
Yeah.
And Republicans have been making all along about Hillary. No wonder many are just trying to ignore this or trying to defend Tulsi, but without attacking Hillary, because this is an easy one for her to win, for Tulsi Gabbard or Jill Stein to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You can win this one easy.
Oh, yeah.
But in order to win it, you've got to make the case that the Republicans have been making, which is the true case.
Right, exactly. I'd love to see that happen.
Oh, please. Make my Tuesday a great Tuesday.
Well, because what happens with the left media? They eventually they're going to have to be fact checking everything that Tulsi or whoever brings it to the table. They're going to have to fact check them.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I want.
Oh, we got a great show ahead. 866-90 Red Eye.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up on the show today, a new poll, two new polls out. showing Biden back to double-digit leads. Really interesting. We'll get to that. The Liberals lose seats in Canada, but Trudeau is expected to lead a minority government, which means he has to. They won a plurality of the votes, the Liberals, but they lost. I think last I saw exit polling showed they would lose around 30 seats in the Parliament, but they will have to put together a minority government, which means they'll have to get cooperation of one of the other, you know, some of the other parties there. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. The Manhattan DA strikes a deal with Trump about waiting for the court's decision on his tax returns all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So what else we got here? Oh, yeah. New poll, how we define success as Americans. Let's celebrate. A man keeps beating women in cycling. Isn't equality just fantastic?
Yeah. We want to be inclusive.
Now the president to keep troops in Syria to protect oil.
Oh, okay.
And Dems alarmed at Trump's money machine. And when liberals don't live in the real world.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, we'll talk more about it a little bit later on. But it was something that you and I were talking about in our pre-show meeting. This was in The Hollywood Reporter. Everybody is freaking out. Freelance writers scramble to make sense of the new California law. This is the whole law aimed at Uber and Lyft and everything else. We're trying to get rid of the gig economy. No, you must be an employee of this particular company. And what they found out is this article in the Hollywood Reporter talking about freelance writers. And these are people that work from home.
Right.
And these are people that want to have, they don't want to be sitting in an office. They don't want to be working for a company. Mm-hmm. They get paid per article. And this new law says if you write more than 35 articles a year for a particular company, you have to become an employee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's not going to happen. They talk about the fact that you can make anywhere from a dollar a word to maybe just $25 a story, depending on what website you're writing for.
Right.
And they're talking to these freelance writers who say, we write 50, 100 stories a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them to different websites who may be owned by the same company. But we write them all over the place, but this is going to affect our business. They're not going to hire us. They want the ability to have freelance writers. We like the ability because we don't have to go into a particular place. We can write for whomever we want. And this is what we wish to do. And it's like California stating and telling them, no, you can't do that, sorry.
This is going to be a problem. I think that you go back to the Uber thing too. Was the similar situation. They want to do away with contractors. Well, you do that, then you do away with owner operators that are leased onto a company. If you're a professional driver, if they're a truck driver, that means, well, no, wait a minute, everyone must be treated as an employee, which means essentially they do away with contractors. Well, here's my question: does that apply to Hollywood? What about not just the writers? I mean the actors.
Yeah.
Forget about the Brad Pitts of the world or the people that get signed on with these movies. What about these other players that I don't know, they for Paramount, they might do four or five movies in a year, but they're getting paid scale, but they're getting paid as a contractor, really, not an employee. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
Well, things are drying up quickly in the South, the Mid-South, and portions of the Midwest as severe weather went through and a tornado touched down in Dallas yesterday. Things are dry for that region today, as well as the desert Southwest and over to California. The remnants of the rain still affecting the Carolinas, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast. Flash flooding now a concern as we've seen two different systems over the past 48 hours move through the Carolinas and Mid-Atlantic. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has released their forecast for the upcoming winter season. Areas expected to be drier than normal include the Deep South, Louisiana, most of eastern Texas. Wetter than normal include the upper northern tier states from Montana through the Dakotas and into the upper Great Lakes. The rest of the country have an equal chance of the weather being similar to normal patterns. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout. We'll be right back.
They're political consultants, they're economists, they're soothsayers, and they are all-knowing. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
That's true. That's true.
Hi, everybody. He's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. Latest polls out there, two polls out. The Monday Survey USA poll showing Biden at 32, Warren at 22. So Biden back to a 10-point lead there. When you look at the political poll, that morning consult poll that came out on Friday, same thing, Biden 31, Warren 21. So in both of those polls, Biden back to the last two polls, Biden back to a 10-point lead. Even though if you look at Iowa, for example, in the USA Today poll, Biden with 18, Warren with 17, Buttigieg 13.
Yeah.
So you see the polls in Iowa, Buttigieg actually moving up, even though on a national scale, his number's still, you know, down there at you know, five or, you know, or below. So I'm trying to see. But no, I see a six, five. Six and a five in the latest polls Buttigieg has right now. Harris dropping, you know, quickly, even though in the latest Survey USA she had seven. But when you look at it, yeah. Biden 32, Warren 22, Sanders 17, they're still the I guess you can call them the big three. In the Emerson, Iowa poll, Biden 23, Warren 23, Buttigieg 16, Sanders 13.
Yeah, what I'm really scratching my head about is the Biden thing. It has to be strictly on the potential that he can beat Trump. I mean, they're still putting their money there.
Yet he is doing the worst debates.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, his performance anywhere, whether it's an interview or a debate, I even think, I mean, just the stories. Show me a story that sheds positive light on him. You know, back in 2008, when his former boss was trying to become president and eventually did, man, the praise and the gushing from the media was over the top. It was everywhere. I don't see that. I see it a little bit with Elizabeth Warren right now. I don't see it with anyone. Maybe Kamala Harris. You really don't see that for Biden. So he's not in favor with the liberal media so much. So where is he getting that support? It can only come from people who think he can win in the general.
And what I find really interesting is these two polls that came out, especially following the debate last week, were on social media. I saw a number of people that I'm familiar with, that I'm not friends but acquaintances of, that I know they're liberal, and I know they're Democrats, but I wasn't sure where they were. And I was amazed the number of them that came out during the debate and said, Biden, it's time to get out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, stop embarrassing yourself. Get out now. What I wonder is, and this is something that is hard. It's hard to figure out because I really don't know where Democrats are. I know where they are in hating Trump. Okay, we all know that, right? They hate Trump. On the issues, I'm not really sure. You and I have talked about that when we watch the debates, we sit there and shake our heads and say, what is the rank and file? What's the average Democrat voter thinking right now?
Yeah.
What does the average voter think about where the party is going right now? Does the average Democrat really believe that the world is going to end in 10 to 12 years because of climate change?
Right.
Do they really, really believe that? Or do they look at that and say, okay, well, that's all bull and we know it's bull, but that's where our party is. Does the average Democrat voter, I won't say the average Democrat is the one listening to us right now, because that probably would not be the definition of an average Democrat. But I just wonder, Democrats listening right now, think think to yourself, do you actually believe that there are 50 genders? Mm. Do you believe that people should be punished for not using the proper pronoun, as Eric has now referred to it as, the pronoun issue out there?
Right.
By the way, I got such a kick out of it. I must have chuckled. I didn't do it as much because we get busy during the show. But during the day yesterday, I was walking around here like, can you believe it? One of the issues for the Democrats is pronouns.
Pronouns.
Wouldn't you ever think that would be a political issue? Use the right pronoun.
But that's where they are. So it has to be, I think. Talking about the left, those who will definitely vote Democrat will definitely not vote for Trump. It has to be right now about the Claire McCaskill effect. Those that are not, they don't like the crazy Democrats. They don't see Joe as a crazy Democrat. They may not see Buttigieg as much. But then you get into the, Cory Booker, you get into anybody else, basically Elizabeth Warren on that stage, Bernie. I think Bernie is really just kind of worn out as welcome. I think Bernie makes the statement. Bernie is the statement. He's the car you buy to put in front of the house to tell your neighbors how you think. But other than that, I really believe it has to be about those in the Midwest, in those states that aren't, don't have the major massive metro areas that are looking at this going, you know what? We got to calm this thing down. We've really got to bring this simmering pot to a slow rolling boil, maybe, or vice versa. We got to bring it from the boil down to the simmer because of the fact that it's just insane where they're going with everything. And if you look at Biden, he's trying to follow along. You can't answer the question, how many genders are there? You don't ever answer that question. As many as you believe there can be. There's your answer. But I mean, he's trying to follow the far left. But I think the fact of the matter is that those who support him don't buy that and believe that as a president, he would not act in that way. That he'll talk about things, but he's really not going to have anything that he's going on his agenda pushing those crazy over-the-top left agenda items.
Look, when we have these discussions, I want to warn everybody that sometimes I know I won't speak for you, but I talk off the top of my head. I'm just, whatever comes to my head, it's like, okay. If I feel something, I know I'm going to be criticized. So you were indicating what your feelings were and not what fact is. Well, sometimes you have to when you try to feel, when you try to analyze what's going on politically. Sometimes it is your gut feeling. And this is the one thing that I started thinking yesterday. Whoever AOC would have endorsed 6 months ago would have been an issue for a week. She would have been everywhere.
Right. Right, yeah.
Here over the weekend, she endorsed Bernie Sanders, nothing.
Right.
Is that because the media's darling is Elizabeth Warren?
Right, yeah.
And because AOC went for Sanders, that there are people that are inside the Democrat Party that are furious with her, inside the mainstream media that are furious with her for endorsing.
That's a great point.
We know how the left is. Mm-hmm. We know how it is that AOC and now other members of the squad are endorsing the old white man.
Exactly. White men are the problem. I endorse Bernie Sanders. I mean, that's what you think about that, though. What the party is looking at, because there really was, I do believe there was a certain level, or is a certain level of adoration, if you want to call it. It's not the same kind of euphoric feeling they had for then-candidate Barack Obama back in 2008, but for Elizabeth Warren, the media, I think, is investing a lot heavier than they were at first. And it shows. That is a problem when you have the face of the party, AOC, go a different direction. And I think then you get to the point of, okay, I don't know, and I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that if Elizabeth Warren gets the nomination, it's so funny how we're just completely dismissing Joe Biden right now in this conversation. But if at the convention they do nominate Elizabeth Warren, I believe AOC an endorsement will be a natural.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's going to be a given. I can't say that about Biden. I guess it would be one of those soft endorsements. In other words, he's the party's nominee, and I support the party. And of course, we want him to go and beat Trump. But you're not really getting out there and throwing in your full dollar for the guy. So I believe that could be the conundrum that they're in right now. The DNC's looking at this going, and the media is looking at that going, Elizabeth Warren was our pick, because Bernie's not going to be the nominee.
Well, and that's what, you know, I started thinking that that inside the Democrat Party,
right,
it's Elizabeth Warren's time.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Time we had a woman that can win.
Yeah, right.
AOC, who is the champion of far-left socialist women out there, the leader of the resistance.
Right, yeah.
Endorsing Sanders, it's almost, I think, to some Democrats, especially the resistance Democrats, a complete betrayal, because it's Elizabeth Warren's time. We have the woman.
Right.
We
right.
have the woman who's not, that isn't a fake socialist.
Right. Right. And she doesn't, well, she does, I was going to say she doesn't come with baggage. She doesn't come with as much baggage. The baggage that Elizabeth Warren brings is not the Clinton baggage.
Oh, no. I don't think anybody brings as much baggage as Clinton.
Exactly.
As
so,
Clinton does.
I'm not saying it's zero, but it's only a couple of bags.
Right.
It's, the bellhop's not going to work too hard with that one. But you get the blonde, I'll take the redhead. I think that probably has to be, because then where do you go? If the media is on board and they keep showing that support and certain level of adoration for Warren, if they're overly friendly to Warren, and AOC's not on board, well, at some point you're going to, well, I would think you would run into that, you know, rift, but maybe not. Because think about what we have seen with AOC over the last, I don't know, month or so. She was just insisting on impeachment. Then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, I'm over that. It's boring. We're moving on.
And you and I asked, what would the response be of the resistance to that? Because right. The resistance wants him gone.
Right.
Here's my other point. If AOC, look, we've talked about Sanders blowing elections before mm-hmm. in 2016.
Yeah, right.
By not going after Hillary Clinton,
right.
Basically giving her excuses,
yes.
And then being screwed over by the DNC.
Right.
Does Sanders, or is there an expectation that AOC will not only promote Sanders, but in any political campaign, you have to go after, you know, your people that are running against you, your competition.
Right.
Will she do that? Will she attack Biden? Will she attack Warren?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be all, well, I'm just going to promote what well, what's the difference between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren?
No, great point. I mean, the difference
What's the
is,
difference well, politically?
The difference politically really is nothing, but it, if you look at, of course, the idea of, well, the first female president, the media would there's where your adoration
right.
comes from.
But issue-wise, the only difference
right.
is, and Warren says she's going to change that here in the next couple of days, where she's going to say how she's going to pay for medical care.
Yeah.
That's really it. On
right.
the issues, they all believe in basically a socialist government.
Right. Yeah.
And now she's going to say how she's going to pay for it, whether the numbers will ever add up. We know they won't, but that really doesn't matter. All you've got to do is pretend that you have a way to pay for it, and that's good enough.
Exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. More analysis of the polls coming up here, and your calls and comments, too, following the top of the hour. Plus, anything you're looking at the results in, from Canada?
Yeah, just it's pretty much the exit polls so far are right on. Let me get back to that page here in a minute. But it looks like, again, that Trudeau will not have all the powers you mentioned. Winning with a plurality
right.
means you're going to have to work with the other parties in order to get things done. He'll be able to form a minority government, but right. in order to get things done, they're going to have to be working, well, across the aisle, as they say.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90 Red Eye. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Get our app. Get our app. It's that simple.
What are you trying to say?
Get our app. And listen 24/7 Apple, Android. So easy for you to listen at your convenience. And, of course, we stream live, RedEyeRadioShow.com, mm-hmm. all around the planet. So there you go. And anywhere else the internet is.
Yeah.
Even in Russia.
We do. Da. This very good listener in Russia.
Right. Da. So if somebody's listening on a radio over there, they are one of our Russian assets.
Yes. You guys waved to Sarah Palin. Would you?
You ready?
I think.
Okay. Since we're talking about Russian assets, here we go.
All right.
All because probably Hillary Clinton said, just like she did with Tulsi Gabbard, just like she did with Jill Stein. She said, Jill Stein is a Russian asset. Now, I don't know Jill Stein. I know her as an environmentalist, okay, and probably a good woman. The last thing she is a Russian asset. I don't know Tulsi Gabbard, but I know one thing. She's not an asset of Russia. Mm-hmm. These people are sick. There's something wrong with them.
Just the way he says it. Just the way he says it. Man, there's something wrong with them. You know what's interesting? We talked about the Claire McCaskill ad that had the two actors doing the voiceover, basically dialogue between what was supposed to be, I guess, a couple of regular guys. I don't know. I don't know how it was scripted. But they went back and forth, and they used the words crazy Democrats. Yeah, I'm voting for Claire McCaskill because she's not one of those crazy Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, you know, immediately I said, you know, there's no way they put that in the ad without getting those words back to them in call-out research. There's no doubt in my mind they were getting that back to them over and over again, so they wanted to make sure that they acknowledged that verbatim in the ad. Well, the president, I'm not saying everything is calculated with the president, but I do wonder. You think about his tactics, what has worked for him, especially at the level of his rallies. I mean, it's unbelievably over the top energy wise. But when he says something like, there's something wrong with him, whether it's deliberate or not, I do kind of put it in that same category of the very deliberate planning of Claire McCaskill's campaign. It's the same kind of mindset. The president knows that he is unique in that he can get away with saying that stuff. We've been saying this for a while. you know, they always, people always, whether it's a never-Trumper or a liberal, they bring up, you know, how he talks, his mannerisms. Well, that's a given. This was a known, you know, quantity. This is something we've known about him for, well, forever. This is how he talks. But I have to believe that some of that language, some of that is tactical in nature, that it's deliberate, that he knows he can get away with it. And in saying it, he motivates his base.
Well, you know, it's something that you and I have talked about when, you know, the way that the media tries to portray a Donald Trump as not being normal. And we've stated, we said, well, no, not really. Trump is like a lot of New Yorkers that a lot of people know.
Right.
you can sit there and if you know, I'm from New York, and so the other side, by the way, the western side, still in New York, look, anywhere around the country, you meet boisterous people. They exist all over the place. They're characters. We all know them. And the fact is, Trump is normal. What isn't normal are the issues that the Democrats propose that are nuts.
Right.
Absolutely nuts. And we're not the only ones saying it. You've got Democrats that are saying it, and that's why we always bring up Claire McCaskill, and that was the point when we were talking about the latest polls last hour about showing Biden up by 10 points and asking why, and looking at all the different candidates and Elizabeth Warren. By the way, I did view some audio from CBS. I'll play it here in a little bit from Bernie Sanders and AOC, and AOC endorsing him. And because that's one of the questions I asked, and it was answered. I said, is she going to be the person? I endorse Bernie Sanders because he's the best candidate and he's better than this person, that person. She came right out and said, well, yeah, I'm endorsing Bernie, because she was asked a question that, you know, and that, why are you endorsing a white guy?
And
she said, because this is all about bringing people together and everybody needs to come together. And I'm thinking to myself, you may be trying to sell that, but the resistance isn't buying it. Your whole party is identity politics, and you're part of the identity politics.
Well, that's
so
it,
So I hear that, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, what's your goal here? You know, what's your is there a calculated goal here that you're trying to get to? And then when asked why Bernie, she said, well, look, you need to understand that just because I'm endorsing Bernie doesn't mean that any of the other candidates are bad at all. They're all great.
Yeah.
Well, then what's the purpose of your endorsement?
Why Bernie?
Right. Why Bernie? See, what separates him?
Right.
Why is he better?
Right. It's funny because I remember after Rick Perry dropped out in 2016, and then someone, I think it was CNBC or something, and they said, well, you know, we know that Trump wasn't your first choice, and because, well, no, I was my first choice. when you break it down, though, you really do have to say at some point, because we're not at the point where you got to convention and the nominee is set and you say, look, I'm going to support the nominee. Of course I am. And blah, 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 blah. You're at, well, gosh, we're still a couple of months away from Iowa. We're still a few months away from really actually getting started, and you're going to get that question by the media. Why? Why Bernie?
You asked the question. We both asked the question. Why did she sort of flip-flop on, I mean, she, by the way, she'd still vote for impeachment, but why did she say that impeachment wasn't important? Why is she now endorsing Sanders? Why is she talking about bringing everybody together? Why is she talking in a very, very soft way? Is she worried about her own election next year? Has she been told by her consultants, you need to mellow it out if you wish to win in your own district next year? If you don't win in your own district next year, where does your political career go? And I'm just wondering whether that is what is behind this slow metamorphosis, evolution, whatever you want to call it, into a softer AOC and not as a loud resistance AOC because there has been a change in the last month. But if you look at it, the thing for her to do would be to endorse Warren and talk about women, and it's time for a woman, right?
Sure.
This is a woman that is just as qualified as Bernie Sanders and much more qualified than Joe Biden, than the establishment. We need to go with the progressive who is new, who is a woman, who understands women's issues and women's problems. Man, I'm telling you, I could be a Democrat consultant, could I not?
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty built in. So why Bernie?
Yeah. Because she's bringing everybody together. I mean, it's just, I will play the audio coming up here in a little bit because I just shook my head. But I want to, when you try to analyze where the Democrats are going, this is part of the problem. This is the Washington Examiner. Several debate watch parties registered with Joe Biden's campaign had paltry attendance in Philadelphia, where his 2020 presidential campaign is headquartered. One party blocks from Biden's national campaign headquarters just a few blocks away. Just two people attended, including David Bradford, who hosted the gathering, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported. Bradford, a registered Republican who is considering changing his party's affiliation to vote for Biden in Pennsylvania's April 28th primary. And another man watched last week's Democratic presidential debate in silence and left before the three-hour event concluded. Bradford said, now look at this. This is what you're, I don't care whether he's registered Republican.
Right.
This is what you're dealing with somebody who would vote for Biden. He's kind of the shoe we know, the comfortable shoe that fits.
Yeah.
I see people going, oh, he's not the brand new shiny toy that others see and find appealing right away. I think as we narrow the field, the energy will pick up. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. What does that even mean? Yeah, he'll get better.
Well, what? If you ask an average person why they vote for Trump. Because he is the one that I believe, even though he did not have the success that that we wish he would have had, but we believe that he is the only one that exists right now in the Republican or Democratic Party who sincerely wants border enforcement.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the economy, I believe that he is the guy that has done a very good job in getting the economy moving, in putting people to work, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And on dealing with the hard issues of trade. That's what you would hear, would you not?
Right.
He is the one that can fight the insanity that exists right now from the Democrats who want to take this country and have government run industry.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, building the ad for this president, I think Brad Parscale's built some really good ads in pointing at the left, pointing out what they have done and how crazy they are. But I think on the other side of that same coin, one thing that I think he should be doing, Brad Parscale, is building on the idea, the very real fact, I think, that this president is unique, not just as a president, but as a Republican, frankly, who has been unafraid to go after what he wants. Again, we can have the debate about his communications and things that we disagree with him on the issues. But look at the stuff that he's doing. It is right up there. These are all agenda items. This is not trying to appease this group or that group with pronouns.
Well,
it was about it was about improvement. And again, we can have the debate whether or not, again, tariffs work or we should be in Syria or not or anything else. The president has a strong position right now as the leader of the party, along with a few others, that is unique to him and his nature, I believe.
My point is, if you went to a ton of different Republicans and asked them, why are you voting for Trump, issues would come up.
Yes, it would be. It would all be issues.
Think about this. If some, well, I'd like to vote for Trump because he's the old shoe.
Right. That fits.
That fits.
Feels snug.
Hey, come on.
Right. Well, it's, you don't even hear that the excuse putting out, you know, keep in mind, 2012 and 2008. Well, because I have to, basically, I'm holding my nose because I'm not going to vote for a Democrat. You know, the president as candidate in 2016 had built a solid base. There were a lot of, there were a number of people that would never, never, ever, ever vote for Hillary that got on board in order to, you know, again, support someone that is not Hillary. But what you don't hear about the president right now is that, well, because the other side is crazy, that as the sole defense of them voting or reason for them voting for Trump. It is really, if you get into it, it's about the issues.
Well, it's about the issues, and it's also about he is the person standing in the way of pure insanity, which is about the issues, though.
Sure, sure, it is. Because ultimately, right, if it falls and he doesn't win, well, bar the doors.
Well, the, and I'm sure they'd say, well, we're fighting against the Democrats who want open borders, who, right, want the, who wish to get rid of all fossil fuels.
Yeah, right.
Who wish to have the government take over and change industry and basically have a socialist government, which is, look at the Green New Deal. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's not a conspiracy theory. In order to get there, you would have to have a socialist communist government.
Right.
There's no other way to get there.
Right.
Well, they're never going to do that. They're promoting it. Doesn't matter whether they're ever going to do it. It's what are they promoting? What do they stand behind?
Exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on proposed hours of service rules. Split duty break. The off-duty break rule would allow one break of at least 30 minutes, but no more than 3 hours, which would pause your 14-hour driving window. Basically, this exception would extend your 14-hour driving window to as much as 17 hours, while it would increase your flexibility and could help you avoid speeding or rushing to get to your next customer or break location. However, you must realize that driving after coming on duty up to 17 hours earlier can be a long day. If this part of the rule would pass, make sure to avoid being pressured into a long day that you can't handle. A 17-hour day is very long to maintain sharp driving skills and attention. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's go to Joe in Chicago. Joe, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thanks a bunch, guys. Hey, listen, I'd like to comment on your analogy of the old shoe scenario.
Yes.
The problem there is we're all asymmetrical human beings, right? So the old shoe tends to wear unevenly. It tends to leak, if you will. And that's not a good analogy when you're down to
it. That's actually...
It doesn't hold water, so to speak.
How dare you make sense, Joe?
Super. Good start.
I love it.
So back to the central point here. I personally dismiss each and every one, and maybe the exception of the Rasmussen poll, because they're simply an arm, a propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. They're like Siamese twins. Okay, so I dismiss them. Look at the exit polls from the last election in 16. All right, next thing is, I firmly believe there's enough rational, sane, moderate Democrats that won't swallow her insanity regarding fiscal policy of Warren. Okay? So independents, I put in that same category. I hope they follow suit also. it should happen that way. So the net result, I think, is if it wasn't for the mass media and their contribution with the, I hate to rank the intelligence quotient of the average voter out there, but I think the mass media has a tremendous effect on them. So without them, I think he'd win by a landslide. This time around, I think he's going to win by a decent margin.
Mass media has less effect on the average person than they did 40 years ago.
They have less influence.
Yeah.
Right.
Debate is a science. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, trained professionals. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Go to our website, redeyeradioshow.com. You can check out our daily podcast. We podcast this show. And so make sure you get that. You can get the app, in fact, and make it a lot easier. It'll be ready for you whenever you're ready to listen to it during the day. If you can't be with us all night, number one, how dare you? Number two, it's okay because we'll fill you in with the podcast. Also, the Extra Mile podcast, sitting down with trucking industry experts and talking a number of issues, including ELDs, hours of service, and much more. You can check out the Extra Mile podcast at redeyeradioshow.com.
By the way, thank you, Sharon, who wrote to us and said, did he offer AOC the vice presidential? The vice presidency.
What would that ticket look like? Because Mike Pence debating AOC. I mean, he's going to win that all day. She's going to be asked questions she can't answer. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Bernie to pick someone like that, but I don't see that. I don't see that happening. I'm guessing no.
Can't be.
She's not old enough.
Not old enough.
All right. Well, when she gets out of high school, then maybe she can.
She's not old enough.
Yeah, she's what is she? 28, 29?
Yeah. You have to be 35 to be vice president, too.
Yeah, that's right, because you would have to, because in the event,
yes,
then she would have to be president in the event that something happened and Bernie resigned.
Right. She'll be Secretary of State.
Oh, man. In charge of all of our nation's secrets. Oh, man.
She'll be defense secretary.
Well, I mean, I thought about a cabinet position.
Why am I laughing?
I don't know. I thought about a cabinet position. And which one, where would she fit? Secretary of Homeland Security. Yeah.
By the way, the last caller talked about the polls. We always get those people saying, I don't believe any of the polls out there. Mm. As we have said, when it comes to the primary polls, one of the problems is they poll likely voters. And if you don't poll likely voters and you poll, or excuse me, if you don't poll register, the majority of the polls poll registered voters, not likely voters.
Right.
And so we have always looked at that and said, okay, there's a little bit more of an inaccuracy. And when you go to Rasmussen, you know, they tend to be close. They tend to have a little bit of a different result because they poll likely voters, not just registered voters, which there's a different standard for it. So many of the polls that use likely voters will be closer as you get to the election. By the time you get, 2-3 months away, everybody is using likely voters. Mm-hmm. But you have two or three polls that are normally right on. For those that say, well, the polls were all wrong for Trump, no, they weren't.
Oh, exactly.
All the polls were not wrong. There were some within just a couple of tenths of points for the popular vote. The polling does not poll the Electoral College. It polls the country as a whole. And so when people say, oh, the polls are wrong because it showed Hillary winning. Showed Hillary winning the popular vote.
Yeah, right.
They didn't poll. Now, we've often said, well, they're get to a point where you will have sophisticated polling that will actually get into those states and start polling the electoral vote. That would be interesting as you got 2 or 3 months away.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it would.
I don't know if anybody has ever stated that they had any plan or that would be a goal of the pollsters to start looking into doing something like that and how you would specifically do that.
Hmm.
We do know, though, that a couple of weeks out, that the internal polling, for example, in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, had the Hillary campaign worried.
Yeah.
And so they were doing the polling on it based on those particular states that you know, that could be a problem, and it ended up being a big problem.
Yeah.
But to sit there and say, I don't believe the polls are never right, is just inaccurate.
Well, and it, you know, again, it's always best if from any campaign's perspective position, I think you must act every day as if you're 20 points behind.
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about that. And the president has a ton of energy and a number of items going his way.
But
you still act as if you're the underdog because, technically speaking, I mean, he's still the outsider, even though he's the president. He is seen, image-wise, he is still seen as the outsider. You know, that's something that's very unique.
It is. He's the incumbent. The first time in American history, the incumbent outsider.
Well, because he's still not the politician that everybody, that I guess you've come to know and love. He's not that guy. He probably won't ever be that guy. So branding wise, it helps him in that he is technically politically still the outsider.
And so to the last caller who says, I don't believe any of the polls at all. Well, then do you believe that Biden is in last place and the media wants him to be in first place?
Right.
Does the media actually wish for Biden to have that 10-point lead? Look, I don't know whether it's 10 points or 9 points or 5 points, but I know if you take a look at all of the different polls out there, in all likelihood, Biden probably has anywhere national between a 5 or 6 point lead if you did all like those who are likely to vote in a primary. You probably have it. Now, you've seen it tighten up, for example, when they get to Iowa, when they get to other states, you see it really a lot closer. So, like I said, people, you know, that's one of the populist arguments. I don't believe any of the polls. Well, I believe the polls do give an indication. And you can look at the polls and you can look at their methodology, and you can say, here's where it's flawed here because you have too many Democrats that have been sampled.
Yeah.
But when you look at all the polls over a period of time, you do know that, for example, Biden is near the top, Yang is not.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right now, that huge question about Biden that I think a lot of people have. I mean, there are people like us that are asking, well, how is it that he's up there? And that, forget about gaffes, by the way. What Biden is doing right now is beyond gaffe. It's really scary. It's spooky how he has fumbled so many things, so many items. He's not good at debates. He's not good at interviews. He's not good at anything, and he's leading by a huge margin.
I go back to, and again, it's tough to put this down on paper, because, you know, when you look at that's why we use as an example the one guy voting for Biden. oh, he's an old shoe that fits.
Yeah.
Well, what does that even mean? But I do think that what you said earlier, the crazy Democrat, that there right. are a number of Democrats out there that look at the things that the Democrats are proposing and say, these are crazy Democrats.
Right.
I do believe, as you stated so long ago in 2018 when she came out with the Claire McCaskill came out with that ad. Claire McCaskill, who is a Democrat, and had the two guys talking, saying, oh, she's not one of those crazy Democrats. And I believe that you were right on when you said that she used those particular words, because those words came up in focus groups. The crazy Democrats are out there. And that's why she used that word. I'm not one of the crazy Democrats, because that's what a heck of a lot of independents and even Democrats think.
Yep.
And so is that why Biden is still leading? Because he does have a history. And is it a lot of older Democrats that may look at it and say, look, I'm an older Democrat, but you new Democrats are nuts?
Well,
that's never talked about.
Look at Rahm Emanuel. Here's the guy that was chief of staff for Obama for 2 years and then became the king of Chicago. And he's looking at his own party right now, shaking his head. You take me back to, I don't know, 2010. And then say, by 2019, Rahm Emanuel is going to be calling out his own party for how crazy they are.
And say that the process they're going through on new health care is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have laughed.
Yeah. Let's go to Joe in Miami. Joe, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, at least AOC would know what it means to wipe down a hard drive.
Well, yeah, right. I'm not sure she would know what the letter C stands for, but yes.
Yes.
I want to know from you guys, how important is it to pick the right running mate? Because we all remember what happened to John McCain.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, a number of things there. I think McCain, the campaign, was getting on this new trend of at that time, Sarah Palin's rising. By the way, we were the first show, I think, to mention Sarah Palin's name, and it was early. It was, I think, February.
Yeah, February
of 2008.
Yeah.
And you know, only because there was so much chatter out there, and then eventually that was the pick. And she had experience as a governor. The media did their hit job, as they were always going to do. But if you look at the number of items where, they talk about the internal rift that McCain didn't really like her, or didn't really want her on the ticket or whatever. You pick her for a reason. You pick someone like that for a reason. And she was a strong governor.
Even though he didn't stand a chance anyway.
Well, I don't know. I mean, keep in mind, he was a weak candidate. I mean, that a lot of that was on him. You know, I'll never forget that final debate with Barack Obama, and the question, it was a town hall style debate, and the question was asked by a female in the audience, and she asked John McCain, what don't you know, and when and how will you learn it? Which is one of those stupid questions that you can't answer correctly. And of course, by comparison, it seems like a smart question. But, you know, I always say, and thank you, Joe, for the call, that the answer should have been is, you know, what I don't know, I know a lot. I have a great deal of experience, military experience that everybody is well aware of. But what I don't know is who is standing right next to me right now. What I don't know is the background of this individual and really what he believes. You know what I believe. You hear it every single day. And my years of service to this country have been very, very clear on what I believe. What I don't know is this gentleman and what he believes. And I don't know how I would learn that. He would have to open up a little bit more.
I don't think who the Democrats pick for vice president is going to have any.
I don't think this year or this round it will. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to have a massive impact. Back in the day, it had some. Remember, Mitt Romney picked Paul Ryan for street cred, conservative street cred.
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm just having so much fun here just reading the headlines of the Babylon Bee. Amazing. This mind reader can instantly guess people's pronouns with 99.9% accuracy.
I love it.
Oh, wow.
You know, we live in this world where, and you and I sometimes will play the audio, the man on the street kind of audio, where you go up to a young person, they go up to a young person. The one that sticks out in my mind is the whole identity thing. Well, if I want to identify as a 9-foot-tall Chinese woman, do you think I could do that? If I want to identify as a 9-year-old, can I do that? And the nervous laughter, right, that goes, mm-hmm. Because you have a society that has basically forced young people to be accepting of anything and everything, regardless of how ridiculous it may seem on the surface. And then to that end, create law that forces you to use certain pronouns. I think you have a lot of people right now scratching their head. Maybe it crosses demographics even. Even some young Democrats may be saying, this is getting ridiculous.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. Around the world, redeyeradioshow.com, where we stream live. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Here it is, Politico's ad. It's too much. Democrats shudder at Trump's money machine. Democrats are increasingly worried about the spending difference between the two sides and its implications for 2020. Trump and the Republican National Committee have raised more than $300 million this year for his reelection. More than any other sitting president in history at this point in the campaign. Trump has nearly twice as much cash on hand, $158 million between his campaign account and the RNC, as Barack Obama and the Democratic National Committee had at this time in his successful reelection run. Already this year, Trump's campaign operation has spent close to $23 million on TV and digital advertising, more than 10 times the amount that the lone major Democratic super PAC spending against him, Priorities USA, has laid out so far in its online-only spending campaign. Democrats are growing, this is from Politico.com, not a Republican or conservative publication, just so people know. Democrats are growing increasingly alarmed by the spending difference between the two sides and its implications for the general election. Quote, the resources he has will be put to work anywhere and everywhere that he feels like he can scare up electoral votes.
Yeah.
Scare up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Democrats will never catch up. It's just too much money, said Chris Lippincott, a Texas-based Democratic strategist who ran a super PAC opposing Senator Ted Cruz last year. That's real trouble. I'm not here to curse the dark, but it's dark. And the situation stands to get worse. Since the start of the year, Trump's campaign operation has run an expensive far-reaching effort to find new small-dollar donors that is already beginning to pay dividends. The campaign netted 313,000 new donors between July and the end of September, according to numbers provided by the RNC, after spending $4.2 million in advertising on Facebook over the last 90 days. Democrats, meanwhile, are still 4 or 5 months away at the earliest from even settling on a nominee. We don't know if the Democratic candidate is going to be able to even compete with such a shorter timeline, even if they have significant resources after the convention, said Tara McGowan, founder and chief executive officer of the Progressive Group, acronym. So there we are right now. So that's from Politico.com, saying the money he's raising is just incredible. Here's the thing, too. If you get, look, odds are, you know, is it going to be Biden? You never know, but you look at it right now, and if it's not Biden, then anybody else who's in there, which would be most likely Warren or Bernie Sanders, absolute socialist. Where's the business money and small business money going to go?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you're going to protect your own. It used to be back in the day you had a number of companies, corporations, or groups that would give to both sides, and you're just kind of hedging. And I'm sure to a certain extent, there's maybe a few of those left. But you make the point in that, and it goes back to the question I was asking when the debates started. Where are they promoting on the left? Who on that stage is promoting growth?
No one.
Something positive?
No one.
There's not one. Not one. Instead, what are they proposing? Spending and taking from the rich, or promoting that the rich shouldn't even exist. No one should be a billionaire.
That the rich shouldn't exist, that trillions of dollars, tens of trillions.
Right.
By the way, that's the first time I've ever said that.
Yeah, wow.
For government spending.
Yeah.
They're promising tens of trillions of dollars in new spending.
Yeah.
We're past billions.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a benchmark.
Well. They've hit a new standard there on the left.
Because it's not even trillions, it's tens of trillions of dollars that they wish to spend. There's no way to pay for it.
No.
And the other thing is with the Green New Deal that all the major candidates have endorsed in some manner or form. Would be the government takeover of industry as we know it. The elimination of fossil fuels. I mean, these things, right. You know, again, I don't mean to be demeaning. I believe that this is factually accurate. These people have childish and children. They have arguments of children.
Yeah, they do.
It's not based on reality, not based on science,
right.
Not based on chemistry, not based on physics, not based on science, based on childish emotion.
Tell me, where are the ideas coming from the left? Where are the ideas that they're promoting? And I mean, aside from appeasing one group or another.
When was the last Democrat that talked about how we need to make sure that we've got a great private sector industry going?
Right.
And here's how we're going to do it. They don't. What they're saying is we need to get rid of private industry. Government will take it over. And government, in the effort to force companies to do exactly what the federal government wishes for them to do, will create tens of millions of new jobs that the government, in essence, will create and not the private sector.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I mean, they used to. On the left, they used to. They would promote things like factory jobs and things like that, and now it's no, you shouldn't have to work. Yang's going to give every household $2,000 a month. We're going to give you free health care, free college.
Well, that debate came up.
Mm.
Bernie Sanders saying, well, no, we just shouldn't give people money. They should be made to work for their money in their guaranteed mandatory job.
Right. Exactly.
Somebody needs to ask Bernie the question. Look, since you're an old-time socialist communist, when you say everybody will have a guaranteed job, is that guaranteed or mandatory?
Well, because there is a difference. But they change terminology all the time. I think that's a fair question. Seriously, you'll have a guaranteed job, which means it would be mandatory. Well, think about that. Bernie gets elected. He's president. He gets his agenda in to the extent that there's a guaranteed job. Well, yeah, but the guarantee is only as good as the will of the person who is the recipient or the beneficiary of that action, right? If that person doesn't want to work, well, wait a minute, now you've got something different. Now we need you to work. You know, Gary, I think they tried that in the society before. Some kind of union. Oh, that's right. Soviet Union.
Well, and that's why, and this is being lost and really isn't a part of the narrative or conversation. I know it is on our show, and it probably is on other conservative, you know, conservative media. Yeah. But it is this assumption that the media has that the population looks like at a Trump and thinks that he's nuts.
Yeah, right.
Trump is the nutty one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, critical thinkers, like everybody listening, will look at it and say, well, he's boisterous. He's loud. I can point, you know, we can point out his faults. But he's like people that we know. Who in the world is promoting just giving people households $25,000 a year who thinks that's going to work? What critical thinker out there, for those that are left, look at it and believe that we can get rid of all gasoline and oil and natural gas and run our society? Anybody that has an ounce of critical thinking, junior high critical thinking skills, knows that's insane.
Yeah.
Trump might be loud. He might be boisterous. He might be like every other politician out there and get caught not telling the truth. Yep.
Yeah.
You can throw that at him like we can throw that at every other politician that exists right now.
That's a given, so set that aside.
Right. That's a given. Set the on where he wants to take the direction of the country. What does the other side want? Open borders, a takeover of industry by the government. That's the Green New Deal.
Yep.
The elimination of all fossil fuels. And I think they're all behind it now, even Biden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Biden's even behind it now.
Yeah, Biden has to get on board. I mean, we pointed out a number of items where he can't just sit on the sidelines anymore. He has to adopt the same thing.
And he came out with the same thing. Yeah, we need to get rid of all fossil fuels. We're not getting rid of all fossil fuels.
No.
That's not going to happen. And so you see that. You see open borders, get rid of all gasoline, all fossil fuels, run the whole the whole economy. Run the entire United States on solar and wind that you can't do. Eliminate the internal combustion engine. Everybody has to get a new car. And what does Trump want to do? He wants to make sure that the private sector economy is good, and he wishes to secure the border.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are the big domestic issues.
Right.
I know that we think, because we do this, that people are really concerned with foreign policy. The average person has no idea what's going on in Syria right now.
Right.
And probably really doesn't care. Really doesn't care.
Well, they didn't care back, you know, I mean, when Assad was using weapons and going after his own people. I mean, he had a few people speak out, but you're right. I mean, on that issue, especially as it relates to Syria, there's probably very few that follow it and really care. That especially to the extent that it's a game changer for them. Right. Politically.
And then to put the cherry on top of it all, you've got a party that wishes to force people to accept that boys can be girls and girls can be boys whenever they wish to do that, and that there aren't just girls and boys, but there are dozens, possibly hundreds of genders that exist out there. And if you don't believe it, this is the pronoun issue that we're going to punish you and attempt to destroy your life. So put that little cherry on top of that little liberal milkshake that exists out there. That's where they are. Well, you look at that, if you have any type of critical thinking and say, yeah, you know, I'm an independent. I really don't like Trump. I think he's arrogant. I think he's an idiot. But you know what he's proposing is quite normal. And these people are, this person over here is very, very likable and insane. Well, I'll go with the unlikable person who is promoting basically sane issues, a sane opinion on the vast majority of domestic issues versus those people over there that are absolutely insane and crazy. That's where we're at right now. That's where it is.
Well, and I think that's it. I think you look at what they're promoting. I mean, they're trying. They want to become, each of them want to become president. And the things that they're promoting are about as divisive as it gets.
Oh,
really.
And now we will take your guns.
Yes.
We forgot about that.
Right,
now,
right.
It's Beto saying that, and he's not going to win the election. But as we know, if he's saying that, that means a ton of people in that party. I'm not talking the voter, the Democrat voter, but there's a ton of people in that party that wants to do the same thing, which is confiscate weapons door to door. Beto's just the one that's saying that.
Yeah, exactly. And as we said before, we're glad at least that one of them is saying it and owning it, because we've been saying it for years. That's eventually what it would have to come down to.
Right.
Which is really was the basis of that question that he was asked. You know, it was. It was that slippery slope. Okay, if you did this and you did that, would you support going door to door? Yeah.
Yep. And so I wasn't angry at O'Rourke, because I know that's what a significant portion of the left believes. He's just stating what they already believe, that they know they can't politically get away with.
Right.
But it's actually what they believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's so important. And then we talk about the issues. If you get a little bit deeper, the First Amendment, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in freedom of religion. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. They don't believe in the representative form of government that we have here. They don't believe in the Electoral College. They don't believe in having a Senate.
Right.
They basically don't agree actually with what has made this country this country. They don't wish to be the United States of America anymore, if you get to the bigger issue there.
SCOTUS. Again, when it doesn't go in their favor, get rid of it. Get rid of the process. Get rid of everything that doesn't work in our favor.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour, plus, you know, headlines. You read me that headline during our pre-show meeting earlier about Democrats, and we just burst out laughing because you were chuckling over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you laughing about? You go, just the headline over there, Democrats saying that impeachment is taking too long something like that.
Yeah. It's taking top Democrats looking at that impeachment saying it's taking longer than they had thought or something like this. And I just said to myself, and I'll see if I can pull it up. I've got a million tabs pulled up right now. But it says something, because it's here it is. CNN.com. Democrats see impeachment proceedings taking longer than some initially expected. I'm thinking to myself, it's like they're at the drive-thru going, what? I've got to wait 60 seconds on an entire meal to be cooked? No way. It's just bizarre how they really did think, well, we wanted him out of office, you know, by Friday. We even got a U-Haul truck at the White House waiting.
Well, it's just how headlines make you laugh. Like, I saw this headline, and we'll hit this story coming up following the bottom of the hour also. Transgender cyclist dominates. Competitors raise questions.
You think? Raise questions.
It should be, man beats women.
Yeah.
Competitors asking why.
Yes, exactly. How did this happen?
That's right.
This is the insanity.
Right, this man is dominating in women's sports. The competitors are raising questions.
Well, just as we said.
Why is this happening?
We've been saying for years, if any person can belong to a protected class simply by saying so, then there are no protected classes. I don't care if it's competition in sports. I don't care if it's justice or whatever. Here we are, and it's happening. Here's your forecast.
Well, things are drying up quickly in the South, the Mid-South, and portions of the Midwest as severe weather went through and a tornado touched down in Dallas yesterday. Things are dry for that region today, as well as the desert Southwest and over to California. The remnants of the rain still affecting the Carolinas, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast. Flash flooding now a concern as we've seen two different systems over the past 48 hours move through the Carolinas and Mid-Atlantic. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has released their forecast for the upcoming winter season. Areas expected to be drier than normal include the Deep South, Louisiana, most of eastern Texas. Wetter than normal include the upper northern tier states from Montana through the Dakotas and into the upper Great Lakes. The rest of the country have an equal chance of the weather being similar to normal patterns. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Melinda in Florida. Melinda, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. The only reason that the Democrats want Trump out is because he keeps exposing horrible, horrible dirt on these Democrats. And they are afraid of him. What's going to happen if he gets elected again for the next 4 years? Are they going to keep trying to get him out? Focus on the people. Prescription drug costs. Do something for this country, Democrats. Hillary Clinton, I heard a tape of her the other day say, if I were to run, I would get elected again. Does that crazy, crooked woman actually think she won the election?
Yeah.
If I were Trump, I would say, back off. Take nasty Pelosi and let her take her $150 million that she has in the bank and get as far away from this country as she can possibly get. Let her give up one of her paychecks to fight for this country instead of pulling him back, all of them. They're not letting him do his job. I don't know how he does what he does. He could have done so much more, and they could have, too, for this country, and everybody pissed off. I'm surprised somebody hadn't blown up Nasty Pelosi's car.
All right.
Let's be careful.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Melinda.
That's some of the passion that exists out there. Yeah, but
We don't condone any of that, any kind of violence. Look, the fact of the matter is this. I would agree to the extent that I do wonder how the president gets by day to day, because we've talked about it with everything thrown at him, that is all these massive false allegations in such a huge way. I don't know that I would have been able to keep my cool at all in that situation. But Trump is the result. Trump is not the cause. We've said this since 2016. This is where the left is, and the same would be going on for Mike Pence or anybody else with an R by their name who held that office right now. That's where the left is. They're just over the top insane. And there's no way around that. They know. I mean, it's all about SCOTUS. It's all about, and I do believe, I would agree with Nancy, that to the extent that they are afraid of the exposure, what is going to be shown through an investigation from the Attorney General's office. I do believe that. But that's going to happen, and SCOTUS and everything else that they're afraid of in terms of the next vacancy on the high court. There are a number of items on their agenda, but right now, I think it gets down to the fact that they still can't believe they lost. They just can't believe they lost in 2016.
Yeah, I would agree that they're afraid what's coming down the pike, but it doesn't matter whether Trump's there or not.
Right.
And look, they're not going to get him out of office. They would impeach him, but I think one of the reasons, by the way, that they had the vote in the House that was unanimous for all the Republicans was just to, they knew. I mean, it was almost like Democrats have a victory, the Republicans can't pass. Well, they weren't going to pass the censuring of Adam Schiff.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen. Mm. They knew it wasn't gonna, the reason they did that was to show, look, we're united behind this president in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, do the impeachment, and what do you get? You get an absolutely partisan impeachment that goes nowhere. That's the message that was being sent yesterday. So, but it wouldn't matter. I agree with you. I think this insanity happened before they ever thought that Trump could do them any damage.
Mm.
This started right after he was elected, gone on from day one.
Yep.
So I don't believe that that's the major reason that they wish to get rid of Trump or they wish to impeach him is because of what's coming down. Because what's coming down is coming down whether he's in office or not.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in office until 2020.
Yep. Full stop. And so, but their reaction, their reactive, I guess, nature could be their downfall. We've said it a few times and it's kind of tongue in cheek, but honestly, I do see a path to victory for this president, even if the economy's not doing its best.
Yep.
And that's because they can't help themselves. They really can't right now. They don't know how to not do what they're doing, it which is attack at every single level. By the way, we have to point out, we don't believe it's a grand conspiracy. While there were, I'm sure, plenty of conspiracies along the way, right now it is the mindset, the hatred for one guy, and that's what drives them all, and they're throwing everything they have at this president. If he wins next November, man, I can't imagine the level of crazy by the Democrats. I just cannot imagine. If he wins November 3rd of 2020, I just have to wonder what the mindset is going to be in the streets. Now, keep in mind, the Wall Street Journal, the day after the election in 2016, went out, talked to some people in Harlem. And they were asking, well, why do you think she did not win? And there was one common thread in the answers. And that was, well, he was talking about problems that needed to be fixed here at home. She was talking about problems everywhere else. In other words, she wasn't, and still today, her party, Hillary's party, the Democrats, they're not talking about promoting something for the people of America. They're talking about dividing. They're talking about calling out people. They're talking about eliminating billionaires. Are talking about spend, but where's the real growth?
Well, what they're talking about is the exact same thing that they did during the Obama administration that we made note of.
Yeah, right.
Climate change and race.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's still the same.
Yep.
And again, all the billions of dollars would have to be spent for what? Climate change. There's a little talk about, you know, medical care out there, about taking care of everybody, but you have establishment Democrats stating that they're insane for what they're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got, if you look at the president, and this is why I believe you haven't, we said this a couple of weeks ago, from now on it's scorched earth.
Yeah, right.
Anything the president says now doesn't shock me. I don't care how angry he is, or, because I believe that that's, they made that decision. They're just going to go absolutely crazy at the, you know, at the Democrats to point out in an extremely passionate and even angry way, this is what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the last caller, I went, okay, that's sort of indicative of the passion that exists out there from the Trump base that hasn't died at all, irrespective of what he does.
Right.
That it doesn't even matter anymore what he does. Syria, nobody's even paying attention to that. All that matters is he is the one person to keep those crazy people from taking over the country.
Yeah.
It's really simple. It's not complicated at all. We get into the minutiae of every single topic because that's what we do, and we believe people should know what's going on in each and every issue out there. But overall, politically, when you look at it, I think it's quite simple right now that he is. Yeah. There's the wall that he wants to build, and there's the wall that he is to keep the crazies from taking over.
Yeah.
And the more that they attempt to promote Trump as the crazy one, people say, excuse me, what's he talking about?
Hmm.
And again, he's got his own personality, which he's always had.
Yep. That hasn't changed.
Well, he's arrogant. And he wasn't in the 80s.
Right.
You know, it's I mean, it's almost stupid, because what's the final determination as to whether you're crazy? It gets down to your core beliefs, right?
Yeah.
What's his core beliefs?
Well, he wants to see the nation prosper
and
thrive.
And he wishes to have a secure border.
Right.
And he believes in a private sector. For the most part.
Well, because you think about...
There is some government manipulation in all of our politicians today.
Yeah.
There is no pure capitalist anymore.
Right.
There really never has been a pure capitalist.
Right, right. But it comes from... And what did everybody say about him for years? That he relates more to the guy on the ground, essentially the workers, the employees, than he does the executives, quite often, right? So you think about the nature of wanting the economy to thrive. He understands what that means and how it lifts everybody if there is real growth. You know, here's a guy who has tarnished his brand forever simply by getting in.
Yeah.
Winning tarnished it even further. It is a brand that will always... His children will always feel that as a result of it. Now, I'm not going to shed any tears for the guy. I'm guessing he's going to be okay. But the point being is that while there are plenty of items you could put on the he only did this for him list, this really was a true public servant move.
Think about this. He is a billionaire.
Hmm.
I'll put it this way. He is a rich person,
mm-hmm.
just to complete the whole narrative. He is a rich president, a rich politician who promotes that people should be able to advance and get as rich as they possibly can. He believes in the private sector. On the other side, you have a bunch of rich people promoting how being rich is bad, even though they have become enriched by being in government, and promoting, though, how the rich is bad, yet he is the one that seems to be able to relate to the blue collar based on the issues, and they are not. That's infuriating to Democrats, by the way.
Well, I mean, you look at it, it has to be frustrating, which is why you get what you have now. It is frustration. I mean, I look at it, I think, you know, speaking of his children, I think Barron at some point is going to put on a cape. He's going to fight crime in New York City. He's going to grow up to be a superhero. His arch nemesis will be this person that is loud and laughs a lot and wears too much makeup. And I'm not talking about Joy Behar. It's going to be, but it is, when you look at that, that whole dynamic of who the person is that is currently president. There are a number of things right now that work in his favor. And the only thing the left has right now, there's not one candidate that has that kind of energy. You know, I did some traveling, quite a bit of traveling over the summer. I saw Trump flags everywhere in different states. And you don't see that. And now, you saw that to some extent in 2008. Now, this would be, I guess, in 2007, did you see any banners for an Obama? Maybe not so much, but in 2008 you did.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes.
I don't see that energy being, you know, coming together for any of them on the left. That kind of passion. And it's based on something real. If the left doesn't get it together, it's going to be an easy victory for this president next year.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. More of your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour on all the different topics that we've covered today. It's not a show that we cover one topic on.
Yeah, no.
We tend to spread it out a little bit. But a new poll out there. What Americans look at that shows that you are successful?
$1 million.
Maybe money has something to do with
bank account.
That coming up, plus the latest on man beats women, dominates in the sport. The competitors are raising questions. Then the question is this fair?
Right.
And they do it. They're soft peddling it because they don't want to be accused of being bigots.
You know, look, we don't write the rule book. We're not the ones that dictate all of this. That's something that, you know, on the left, they're going to have to work it out. What do you do? Again, we pointed out that if you can belong to any protected class just by saying so, whether we're talking about competitive sports or the justice system in America, well, then there are no protected classes.
Right. Liberalism kills feminism.
You gotta open the door to everybody, and you don't get to ask questions.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.